introduction, maybe. Maybe, may not flow too smoothly because I'm always a very complex poet. And I think that most of you are aware of who he is, but there may be a few who are not. So I'll very briefly say a few things about his past achievements and then go on to a few remarks about how I see his, those of his poems, which I've been reading and rereading over the past several weeks, and his poetics. Michael McClure is one of the original beat poets, and I've never understood, I didn't understand at the time why he was grouped in that, why he was included in that group or under that rubric. I don't know who it was that first invented the word beat, but whoever it was, I assume that he had in mind Gertrude Stein's line to Hemingway, "You are all a lost generation." So it's a past participle, so it's a kind of a downbeat term, and I never thought of Michael McClure as a downbeat poet. I think of him more as a visionary, which is not to imply that some of the other beats are also visionary. We're also visionaries. He's written some 14 books of poetry, plays, collections of essays. He is, throughout his poetic life, has been involved with music, with poetry and jazz, famously as a mentor to Jim Morrison and as a co-author of a song with Janis Joplin. Michael McClure is a lyric poet and a philosophical poet. Ezra Pound at one time, when he was musing upon the future of poetry, suggested there might be three types of poetry: phonopaic, meaning poetry of images; melopaic, meaning poetry of musicality; and logopaic, meaning poetry of ideas. I think that Michael McClure has been adept at all three of those types of poetries, and quite often all three on the same page. See, he is mellow poetic doubly, and so many of his poems are organized like musical scores, and also in that the language of his poetry has a kind of a musicality. I just want to read a very brief passage from a poem called Ode for Soft Voice. "The nerves are dead that feel no hunger or pain, there's no triumph but failure. This is the last speech of seraphim or beast sick in need for change and chaos. The room of banished love for beauty, the tooth in our breast. What we see is real and able to our hand, but we feel is beauty, beauty. What we strike is hatred, what we scent is odorous. This about me is my bride, if I kick aside the forms of it, for woman, world, and mineral, for air, for earth, for fire and water, for table, chair, and blood." That has me, musicality. But as a poet of ideas, I first want to make a point which Stan Brakhage made, in that Michael McClure's use and command of ideas is quite different from what we would find from almost any other writer. To quote Stan Brakhage, Michael McClure's expresses the whole body's thought as distinct from simply and only brain think. The other qualification, and it's really related as well to that emphasis on the body rather than simply the brain, is Michael's reaction to a poet who was certainly one of his mentors, Charles Olson. And Michael McClure disagreed with Olson's emphasis upon culture. And this is a quote from Michael McClure. "I believe that the spring of poetry must be more physical, more genetic, more based in flesh, and have less relationship to culture." In a poem in 1978 called Antichamber, and I want to read just a couple of lines from that. Which I think are very significant. "Do you know we crowded on the land? Do you know we crowded on the land? The black shapes in pansies are imitating flocks of nectar-drinking flies. Around the complex brilliance of our feedback, and we broke the substrate and made the shattered substrate and made the substrate shattered. The forests and the chaparral are burned and grazed and fenced in imitation of ourselves." I read there a kind of a suggestion of a primal fault line in our being that goes way back before culture, and that exhibits, if that's the right word, a biological basis for thought. And when I say way back, Michael McClure in that very poem goes back so far that he states this somewhat comic line, but serio comic, "I am a mammal patriot." Speaking for that entire class of beings, and then acknowledging that this class has relations. This is this poem called An Antichamber, which I read as a poetics. The gnats at sundown in the rosy lovely light are cousin angels catching light upon their wings in the antechamber of the night. I see in that poem that the antechamber is where we are. I think it's very important in reading Michael McClure's poem to see that his cosmic, that word cosmic has, I haven't been able to think it till this minute, but now I'm his cosmic vision, I think it's important that it is not a split vision. It is not the kind of vision you encounter in a writer like Teilhard de Chardin, who has the idea that there is some aspect of our human thought that rises to a sphere beyond the shit and muck of the world, a vision that is, say, opposed to entropy. This is not true of Michael McClure's vision. As I read it, Michael McClure takes it all on. He takes on even human destructiveness. He takes on human destructiveness as well as beauty. This is particularly true in his new work, Mysteriosos, and in a great new poem called Dear Being, which is a poem of old age and childhood, or perhaps of childhood in old age. And it calls to my mind a couplet of William Blake: "The child's toys and the old man's reasons are the fruits of the two seasons." Mm. And also, it's such a great poem, it also calls to my mind William Carlos Williams' poem that begins, "The descent beckons, even as the ascent beckoned. Memory is a kind of accomplishment." So let me just conclude here with a line from Michael McClure, and this is the last line in the author's note to his selected poems. "I continue to see the poem as an extension of myself, as a gesture, and as an organism seeking life. Michael McClure.